Hello, and welcome
to the Animal Farm Analyzers podcast
with Charlotte and Alexandra.
Yay!
Woo!
Peace of England, peace of Ireland, peace of every land and clime. Hark and well and spread my tidings of a golden future time with the Animal Farm Analyzers.
Welcome back to our podcast.
Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yay.
I have something to say.
Oh, no.
Alexandra has got our theme song stuck in her head.
Animal Farm Analyzers.
Okay, I'm really glad that we decided Victoria was singing.
Oh, yes. Yes. About my great example of my singing there.
So if you do hear her singing along the way.
Or she'll mention, oh, yeah, she's humming it right now.
Yeah, she's just mouthing
words. It'll be okay. Don't worry.
But today we've got a pretty big chapter, right, Alexandra?
Oh, yes. This is our outline for today's episode. Is so extensive to the point where it's almost at the end of the page, but just barely.
Yeah.
But we're okay. But we're going to talk about chapter 7, so sit back and relax. Maybe take a nap while we're talking about it, but please don't, because we like to talk about these things. Maybe you can talk to your friends around you while you're listening to it.
I don't think you'll be able to nap for this chapter.
Oh, definitely not. It's
intense. Do you want me to start off with a summary?
Sure. Go right ahead.
The farm falls into a famine. The windmill crashes and rebellion rings. What else could go wrong?
That's like inviting bad things to come and be like, you know what, we're just going to ruin your day even more.
Yeah, so we start off, Alexandra, you have a good narration voice. Okay. Do you want to read this?
It was a cold and bitter winter. The stormy weather was followed by sleet and snow and then by hard frozen what?
That's what they say, by hard.
Hard frozen.
Hard frost,
which did not break until well into February, meaning it's really cold.
Yeah,
it was so cold and miserable outside.
Sometimes I feel like the author uses the weather to illustrate like the
definitely.
Moods and the tones.
Definitely
of the
intensifies the mood in the whole story.
We start off with the windmill knocking down, and
they think it's Snowball.
Yeah,
Napoleon
so
and
ready
Squealer,
for this?
Right?
A Snowball bite. The human beings pretended not to believe it was Snowball who had destroyed the windmill. They, the human beings, said that it had fallen down because the walls were too thin. But it had been decided to build the walls three feet thick instead of 18 inches.
But that's like two times. That's like double what they already had. But it was just because... Personally, well, this is Charlotte, Siri, and I kind of added on to it. Charlotte thinks that it was Napoleon who did that just to do
no,
that.
Napoleon,
no, you didn't. That's not what you think.
Napoleon didn't destroy it. The wind did.
The
but,
wind
like,
did.
The animals are like, no, the human beings are
Snowball,
just saying
let's
to
avenge
us.
Him.
Yeah. I feel like Squealer and Napoleon are definitely using, you know, like I said before, I think Squealer's QAnR. Yeah.
I feel that they're taking advantage of the animal's stupidity, and they're making them think that they're smart enough to, like, overthrow, almost.
That like, they're not smart enough to do.
Yeah, they're not smart
as long as the animals believe that they're not smart enough and that Napoleon and Squealer are doing everything best for them, they'll manage to stay in control, but it's dangerous. It's just like when the Qin Dynasty burned all the books to stay in control. It's sad what some people do for power and control.
History with Charlotte, short version.
Yeah. Another quote I want to talk about is, once again, the human beings were inventing fresh lies about the Animal Farm. So you know how at the beginning we talked about how the Animal Farm's going through a famine?
Right,
and that
then they were
scene.
Like, you know.
The animals were all dying of famine and diseases, and that they were continuously fighting amongst and had resorted to cannibalism and infection. So...
And obviously that's not real, because
So, the human being's first lie was actually true. So, based on this, what can we infer about this lie? Could it be possible that this could be true?
No, because... Actually, wait, cannibalism.
Cannibalism.
No, because... Is this... No, this is before it. No. I feel...
It's possible.
It's
and
possible.
We'll talk about that in a second. But they were definitely dying of famine and diseases at the time.
Definitely,
And
yeah.
we get to the
I don't
chicken.
Think they ate each other, though.
Oh, no.
They did?
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that now. The chicken revolution.
Oh, the chicken rebellion. We like this stuff. We like this part. We like animals.
We need to scream this now.
Chicken rebellion!
Chicken rebellion!
Yes. Like chicken run.
Okay, so I was like so happy when this came in because I was like, the chickens are going to take over.
She had a theory. Like from chapter three when we were reading it, she was like, oh yeah.
Chapter one, I was like, the chickens from Click Clack the Moo. Yeah, that
Click Clack Moo! That's a classic.
Chickens take over all farms. Okay, so anyways, the revolution. So here's what the animals had to eat: nothing but chaff and mangs. And I looked this up, and this is like seeds and things in hay.
Okay.
But it's also said, I'm pretty sure, through the chapter that Napoleon and the dogs' rations were not cut. So the dogs could have done.
I think it was favoritism.
Napoleon could have and the dogs could have eaten less, and maybe they wouldn't have to take this next dramatic.
Right. It was favoritism and, power.
So, the animals were starving. So, Napoleon strikes a deal with Mr. Who's the guy?
Mr. Frederick.
No, yeah, not Mr. Frederick. I think.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Okay. So, that he will
Do
400 eggs a week. And he tells the chickens, you're going to have to make 400 eggs a week. And this is what the chickens say. It would be murder. They were just getting their clutches ready for spring. For the first time since the explosion of the Jones, there was something reassembling rebellion. Because the Napoleon's trying to take away these chickens, and to do that, that would be murder. And in order to feed them. So the chickens are like, no, this will be, really bad. You're going to be killing our children. So this was the first time since the Joneses that they're realizing, hey, Napoleon's not that great of a person. He's he's kind of very, very
starting to be dictatorish.
He's starting to be more and more like Mr. Jones as it continues on. And he already is. So this is the first time. Yes. No, that's the sixth chapter. Okay. It's more and more he's starting to become
Trying
Mr.
to look
Jones.
Up how many eggs they did.
And stuff like that. It was 400. I know that by a hack.
400,
Anyways. So the chickens have a rebellion, and then Napoleon's like, cut all their rations. We're going to starve them, and you're going to hand over your eggs.
Here's the thing. If you start my understanding of how they breed chickens and get eggs is you feed them more and they get fat, and then that they produce the eggs because they have enough something from the food that they're getting helps them make the eggs. So if you stop feeding them, obviously they're gonna stop producing eggs.
All they're already eggs that they already laid. And those eggs have chicks in them. And then eventually the wait is over, and I nearly cried in this moment. But the chickens were forced to give up their babies. And Napoleon once again the human beings lie said that they had resorted to cannibalism. I would say that this is a form of cannibalism because they're killing their own young to feed themselves.
Oh, yes. And it was Mr. Frederick that he sold. Mr. Pilkington. Yes. I don't like that man.
Anyways, so this had turning effects, foreshadowing to a much worse consequence coming. But if you thought that this was the worst of the chapter, boy, were you wrong.
Oh, my God.
Let's get into it with the execution
scene. They literally killed people. It was a parade. With all the dogs surrounding Napoleon, he was the most important person on that farm, and charges out, and then he sits down, and he's like, "Who betrayed me?"
So yes, so whoever betrayed him, Napoleon goes on a killing spree.
Yeah,
he kills four pigs who said, "Guy, Napoleon, we cannot stop these debates. These debates are necessary, and you're basically cutting off our voices." He's like, "You're dead," and then he's like, "Anybody else have anything?" The three chicken rebellion leaders, "You're dead." A goose is dead for taking an extra seed portion.
Yeah, or something like that.
And another sheep die, and then some other person dies, and it's described as there's just a body of.
A bunch of bodies. And you might wonder how he killed them. They do have a gun on the farm that they shot off. Remember, the one that they got from Jones?
Yeah, but I think it was the dogs.
They
mostly.
Used the dogs to kill.
And the dogs are also
the poor dogs. They're being used for no reason.
Yes. So, more on this. Why do you think that Napoleon killed all these animals?
Because he felt they were a threat. They might threaten his power. And he's so used to having so much power that he's just hungry for more. So if he gets more power,
and I also think the timing was right after the chicken rebellion.
It was. So it was he was had enough. He was like, you know what? I'm done with this stuff.
And then people started using Snowball's name for things and to let things slip, and then he just killed a bunch of animals, which was, he was in fear, definitely, that people were going to start to uprise.
Even though it might not seem like it, because he's such a powerful and, like, secluded, like, is that the word? Secluded person. He's, like, he's actually, like, frightened. I feel like that's in a lot of cases for these type of people, where they're, yeah, like, and I'm even, like, intimidated popular, by the power.
Even popular
of these
kids are,
yeah,
like,
some popular people are, like,
they're very,
like, people who are more attractive or vivacious. They're kind of jealous of the people who are more kind and vivacious, and they,
yeah,
just, they've already, like, set themselves up for acting like this forever, even though they want to change, which is really, yeah, sad. And it happens in a lot of books and movies, too, but that's, like, really basic.
Yeah, so this theme's all across literature.
Yes.
And then here are the reactions to what happens.
So Boxer says, it must be due to our fault. So, like, it's his fault that this happened.
Yeah.
And Clover was like, her eyes filled with tears.
Ready? I'm going to read it.
She's going to read the passage. Do you remember the page?
Yes.
The page. Oh, there it is.
As Clover looked down the hillside, her eyes filled with tears. If she could have spoken, her thoughts would have been that this was not what the animals had intended when they wanted to set themselves free to work for overthrowing the human race. The scenes of terror and slaughter were not what they looked forward to that night that old major first stirred them in rebellion. If she remembered had been a picture of a future, it had always been a society of animals set free from hunger and whips, all equal. Each working to according to his capacity, the strong protecting the weak, as she had protected the brood of ducklings with her forearm on the night of old Major's speech.
See, that's like, talking about it out loud and, like, saying those things, like, when you're reading in your head, it doesn't seem as bad. But, like, reading it out loud and talking about it out loud, I feel this podcast is, like, helping us see how intense and dark this book is. Like,
yeah,
it seems normal when you're reading it, but then you're like it's really not.
It can be easy to, like, you know, sidetrack it. Like,
it could go over,
yeah,
my head and not,
yeah, you're like,
it.
These are animals. There's pigs taking
it's
over
fine.
The farm.
You know, it's, but like a really, fantasy, but it's like it,
yeah,
might happen.
It
in
really
real life.
They really use personification on the animals.
Yeah,
but the other thing is, this is a big moment, because not only do we get really in depth, we, yeah, also hear someone's thoughts for the first time,
right,
in the book.
And this is where
and
we had
the
dilemma. This
the
is
book.
Our dilemma.
Yeah.
We don't know what kind of third person it is because of that scene.
That one
and it's
scene
killing
was
us.
Like, what is it? So we went with third person objective, and,
yeah,
that scene we're just saying is a once-off thing, and it was only for the purpose,
yeah,
of,
so it
just,
wasn't, it wasn't repeated.
It was
so
just
it didn't need
drawing
to be.
More and more depth to,
yeah,
this scene. But just to conclude on this, because this was a big episode, I'm going to give you a summary again of this book. So basically what happens, Napoleon lies, we get a chicken rebellion, the farm's in a famine, and there's executions.
And Clover, doesn't Clover sing a new song?
Yeah.
Oh,
we forgot to talk about
the song.
Let's talk about
Clover's song.
Let's sing
that song. Actually, not sing, because we don't.
Yeah,
we
can't sing. And at the end of the book, we talk about Clover taking on more and more of a motherly role.
And this is where they change
the
song, because they're not allowed to sing.
All the animals crowded around her, and she sang she was unable to find, which at last, this feeling in some way substituted for the words she was unable to find. She began to sing The Beasts of England. The other animals sat around her and took it up as they sang three times over, very tuneful. And slowly, mournfully, as they had never sung it before. So she's
which
using,
is really sad.
She's using this song as reconciliation,
yeah,
and
like
mourning, and, you know,
and comfort.
And then Squealer's like, "No, that song's been canceled.
You're wrong.
Why?
You're canceled.
Yeah, because
canceling your subscription to Beast Violin.
Yeah, because it's no longer needed, comrade. The,
yes,
revolution, the song of rebellion, and the rebellion's down completely.
So the poet of the farm makes a new song. What's
yeah.
It?
Ready?
Goes.
You want to sing it? Because this song's terrible, so we have terrible voices,
yes,
so this will work.
Animal farm,
never
through
me shall come
never
to harm.
Never through me shalt thou come harm. What?
Come to harm. Basically, it's saying you'll never harm animal farm.
Yeah, you can't.
So, Napoleon, again, was fearful of his power, of the animals gaining more power, so he restricted,
right,
this song. So, this whole episode is just basically about all the things,
mm-hmm,
the snowball of things that Napoleon
wanted to
his,
undo.
It shows his really, really character and way he leads, and it shows.
He shines very transparent
just,
through this episode.
It shows
and how
what
he can use
what
his power.
Lengths he will go for that power.
Definitely. Because right, he's power hungry.
Yeah, he is.
That's the moral of this chapter. He's power hungry.
So, yeah, and we also learned, based on Clover's song, yeah, communism does not work.
Yeah, no.
Someone's going to try to take control of you. We got that Molly problem where what happens when animals don't do that work. And that's why we're really glad that we live in a capitalist, you know?
You know, in a democracy where everybody's equal, even though sometimes it might not be. Yeah. But we're not going to get to that because this is an open channel with everybody's opinions matters.
Has the ability to voice their concerns.
Everybody's opinion matters, and that
we have the ability to protest when we don't see something isn't right.
Right.
You know, like during the Black Lives Matter movement.
Definitely
during
important.
keep talking. During the Black Lives Matter movement, and it's definitely a very important thing to use our voices. And we see in society now, Napoleon's forbidding the animals from using their voices and speaking up. And if you were like, what just happened there? Our computer shut down. We've been talking so much.
I don't know if that kept recording, but we can definitely listen to that. But yeah. Other than that, thank you for listening.
This was our longest
episode.
I know. We're sorry if we're like kept you waiting. You're like,
but sorry anyways, if you fell asleep.
Also, the execution scene was the most important scene. And
of probably the entire book.
Because it sets up for foreshadowing later, yeah. And it shows just how depth.
We felt this was the climax of the book.
It wasn't the climax of the book. We're still debating this.
We're just still debating this one.
Thank you so much for listening. Bye!
Bye!